I'm going to God bless you guys for joining me here at ECMC Studios. We're here in the city of Plano, Texas. Most of you are coming to the show. You want to go to Spreaker.com. If you come on Spreaker.com, you want to go to the Axie platform called Harvest New Life. And that'll get you in live. But it's a blessing for you guys to be with me on this morning on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Everybody play well today. And we're going to have a great time with all the fathers. You got some fathers living in homes. You got some fathers living outside the home. Yet still, that precious child came together, you and that individual, to bring it into play. So let's give the opportunity to the fathers today, whether it be distance or be they far, and that the fathers get a chance to be with that child if he so she to be with. Amen. We get that out right. Drink my coffee at the same time. But we're going to be in the book of Mark, chapter 13. We're going to look us over in the book of John, chapter 2. And we're going to try to piece this together as best we can. Give me a few minutes. Let me let the music kind of solidify itself. We're going to go thanks to the beautiful woman, Pastor Patty Ellis, who's going to be coming up at 10 o'clock. And we're going to try to enjoy the rest of the day on our Father's Day. But we're going to try to put something in your heart, not pretty entertaining to just fathers, but more or less on how a father should be during the course of time events that are taking place in our lives today. Amen. Give me a few minutes. I'll be right back with you guys here in just a second. Father God, we thank you. We bless you beyond it for this morning. Lord, we thank you for letting us see just another Father's Day. Father God, thank you for letting us see just another day. You know, the opportunity to come up before your throne to hear what you have to say through the kingdom as being conduits, Father God. As we follow your plans, your guide, your trail, Father God, you declare in your word that you know the thoughts and the plans you have for every one of us, and they are good and not of evil. On today, Father God, guide us through your spirit as we speak, not of ourselves, but to the Holy Ghost. As we give reverence to you, Father God, as we anoint our head with oil, declaring, decreeing that the blood represents the cure of all impurity in our lives. That's quite not like right, quite not like you. Oh, kind of got a stagger there this morning, but the Holy Spirit finna straighten that out in a minute. But we declare, Father God, even as we move forth, you look over all the fathers, Father God, on today. Lord, bless them. Give them the strength that they need as they go forth. Father God, let their day be more joyful than it was even on the Mother's Day. Lord, it's both sides, men and women. And we declare right now in the name of Jesus that when you put all this together, Father God, men with women and women with men, as you declare the orchestrated plan of the kingdom, Father God, that no man can separate under any law, any shape, form, or fashion. Lord, it's your design. It's your command. And Lord, we thank you right now for us being fathers, Father God, and raising our children, Father God, and all those ones who hadn't had the opportunity to some kind of a problem or what it may have been, Father God, forgive them. Let them come to senses, understand, and realize, Father God, that they may not be there in the home, but they're still responsible to take care of that individual, Father God, as they should. And Father God, let the children, as you said, not rebuke the parents, not cause them to rise up against them and make them be something that they're not. And Father God, we thank you that this time, this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we decree it. Lord, we declare it. Lord, we call this thing to come forth, that it will not come back void, but it will accomplish and do everything I am. Father God, these things I speak not of myself, but the power of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord. Amen. Let's get into this word here this morning. Glad you guys can be with me this morning here at HLC Studios. Got a few things going on in the background. Other than that, we're fine. We're just going to keep moving. I got some stuff kind of going through the other process. You might hear a little bit of it, but it's nothing that can hurt you. But once again, welcome you here at HLC Studios. Now, actually, Father's Day morning show here at 8 o'clock here at HLC Studios. Usually, I come on my early show at 9 o'clock. I mean, 8:30. But now we're going to jump in here at 8 o'clock, and we're going to see what the Word of God is speaking concerning some of the things about over here in the book of John. Turn your Bibles to the book of John. Let's look at the book of John here for a minute. Let's try to figure some things out. Not fix some things. Let's work some things out here in the book of John. The story goes way back. It goes way before the work of Christ. We know, according to the book of John, the word came to John, and it was telling John, or actually Jesus knew that before John the Baptist came on the scene, that he came here to do a work. Well, it does goes back to the book of John, chapter 9. In John chapter 9, and you get a chance to just, you know, go back to 9 to actually John chapter 10. Let's go to John chapter 10 for a second here. John chapter 10, before going back to John chapter 2, says a whole lot about the work of Christ. And what this work Christ is doing, it says a lot about you as a Christian, as a man, as a leader of your household, to take command, to be able to understand and realize that God has placed you to be an apple of his eye, not to be better than anyone else, not for your wife to walk behind you, but the wife to walk beside you and support you in what you're doing. It's a great opportunity to see a team working together. They really have a great mindset of a future, raise your children. With all the chaos and things that's going on around us, you're really going to have focus on what we need to do as going forth as men and women of God in this season that we're in. And it's a great thing that we're doing here at HNLC Studio to move forward and do the work of the kingdom, because it's just a great thing to do and just kind of bring, you know, the relevancy of our life should be on that norm of men and women coming together. So, fathers, we're grateful. We're grateful that we are to have the opportunity to become fathers. Some situations unfortunate, and you don't want to talk about that right now because it touches a little nerve, but we want to make sure that we're going to honor all the fathers today, you know, wherever it may be, your father. And some may feel opposite about that, but you know what? You pray for them, and you know what? You keep them lifted up in prayer. Because if your heart is right, then God will cause things to fall into fruition the way they should be. The word of God comes over in the book of John. Jesus being the Messiah, and he comes into this particular region of the area. And there's a question being asked to him about some things that was going on with him, you know, whether he was the Messiah or not. And the reason I'm saying whether he was asking him to be the Messiah or not, it's the same thing like a DNA test. Is he the real father? Is he not the real father? Some fathers say they are, some fathers ain't. Well, my days, people just took you in. It's been a friend, it's been their little brother, or whatever it may be. Well, our main thing was making sure the young people got good guidance in growing up. If there wasn't a father around or it wasn't a mother around, the mothers did the opposite. They took the kids in and helped them out and did things for them. And the fathers did the same things, told them how to do the mechanical things for us. You know, sometimes we don't know how to cut grass, fix on cars. We didn't go out in the street and learn anything. You know, some children were deprived of that. They didn't have the opportunity to receive to know how to do that. And if they did learn it, they learned it by someone else who was probably just like me, who wanted to raise up a good, strong son. And because of some things that were probably in position that wasn't right at the time, it prohibited that. But that still didn't give the opportunity for that individual or me or anyone else to keep in track with that individual, making sure they get the best way of direction that they did. But, you know, sometimes these things happen and we can't carry that anger in our heart toward an individual about that. But Jesus speaks a word over in the book of John. He said something in the book of John. He says over in the book of John, in John chapter, let's look at John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14, look at verse 10. And he was mission-minded. He was mission-minded. I was looking at a special yesterday about the young man, Tupac Shakur, and how he was brought up, and how he said the man in his house that he honored as his father. But he did honor a father. You know, he didn't know his original father, but he honored the man who said it was his father. And on down in the story, he says, I think of time he had got incarcerated or been shot or something like that, his father did come around and he started to make some bonds with him, but he still looked at the man who grew up and raised him up as being his father. Let's move on this. He says over here in the book of John chapter 10, he said, believe it not that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Jesus came with a mission of understanding his total direction came from his Father. And I'm not saying that, you know, Jesus is the Father, you know, it doesn't talk about in when you talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, you talk about the power of God, the creation, the designer, engineer, you never hear him talking about women. But this doesn't exclude women, because God said, what I created women out of the rib of that. So it's just like it came from me as well. So I believe there is I ain't gonna say female Jesus, but he's likely to be the father on both sides because he's the creator. So he knew what he designed. He didn't have to be a he or she, but he knew what he designed to multiply. That's what the word of God says over in the book of Genesis. We go over the book of Genesis. So here in a minute, we're gonna look at that. But I want to focus right here, right quick, dealing with the fathers in terms of how Christ came with a mission. And no matter what the mission may have been, whether sometimes things were bad for him in our case as fathers, sometimes we as Afro-Americans, and sometimes we go through a lot of change on our jobs. We go through a lot of ridicule things on our jobs. And sometimes don't nobody understand a lot of things that we go through. But we're under a pressure cooker almost every day, you know, with all the riots and things that have been going on around the world. It's really rough. But, you know, we strap ourselves up, we hold our heads up, and we keep our dignity, and we just keep on going, you know. Seeing like when layoffs come around and situations take place on the job, seeing like they always want to chop us first for whatever reason, especially if you're doing well. You just got to tell the truth and, you know, shame the devil. But you got to let us stand up and be strong in the midst of adversity. And some person say, well, how can you be strong when they're trying to take everything from you? Well, they can't take anything that God gave you. God just sometimes one door opens another. You know, one door closes, another door opens. Keep it moving and keep going and listen to what God has to say. Pray, and he'll direct your path. The shadows of the valley of death is not easy. It's hard walking through there, but you got to be able to open yourself up and go forth and keep moving forward. Easier said than done. It is. Anybody ever told you faith was easy? They lied to you. Faith is not easy. I can experience some things and let you know how some seem to have a little fortune than others. But the ones who actually had the problems and situations that are coming up and finally got themselves on straight, you'll find that they're a little bit more stronger. I'm not saying the ones who have are stronger, but the ones who don't have, the road's just a little bit more rough. And they tend to try to roll on that rough edge. You know, they kind of still kind of got that little gangster in them, you know, but they still know how to handle their business as well. Jesus said in the verse 10 of chapter 14, believe it not that I'm in the Father's in me. He speaks unto about the process of those who are unbelievers, speaking unto the speaker, not to myself, but the Father who dwells in me. So he says, believe it not that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. And he says, the words I speak, he's under the command of the Father. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells, not in me, but dwells in me. He does the work. So he's really in the position of catering to the one who's mentoring him. I'm going to say it like that. Or whose ownership over him. And that's why it's so hard sometimes in the life of young children. They don't have a father there. They have to learn things. And sometimes one of the other side could deprive that. And one side could deprive that. And we're not trying to point fingers at anyone this morning. It takes two to tango. It happens. But why have them fall short of some things in their life? And some usually come out great. You know, some usually come out great, some fantastic. You know, I love my son, Ricky, Alonzo, you know, all of them. I care for all of them. They're great guys. I mean, they are really stand-up gentlemen, you know. And some situations you look at behind the scenes, you know, people just wasn't there in the midst. And it had nothing to do with you as an individual. It may have been an altercation that may have took place. But this is when Jesus declares you know, pray for those who despitefully use you. If there'll be a problem or situation, you can't walk over the top of the sin. You got to be able to meet together as two neutral individuals. You got to talk about it, and you got to bring it back to play because there's somebody else in the scene. Don't let the generational curse move forward. And what he does to him, he does to him, he does to him. What she does to her. On down the line, you don't want that to happen. You want to find somewhere you can stop that thing and raise up these children and these young women in the way they need to go. They have a home that they come to and see how it is to be have a mother and a father there with them. But he went on down here to say this, verily, verily, I say unto you. He said, believe it not that I am in the Father, and the Father's also in me. But in this particular area of the 12th verse, he's revealed, verily, I say unto you, believe on me the works that I do, he shall do also. Now, how is this coming out of the Father? It's coming out a whole lot. It comes back because we all need a Father. If they're not a physical Father, we need a Heavenly Father. Somebody need to come along and teach them how the ways of the kingdom, because the world can teach them a whole lot. in terms of what's going on in their life and around their life. Jesus speaks a word with his disciples coming out. They're all men that follow him. I believe there's women there also. I want to read some of the historical story about Mary and them. They tagged them also. But he always mainly talk about the 12 disciples. But in this particular area, Mark chapter 13, he said he went up to the temple. One of the disciples asked him, say, Master, what manner of stones these buildings have here? Now, when you look at this in the Amplified version, it's going to say it a little different, but I'm going to show you why it said it a little different and the reason it said that. It said in the Amplified version, as Jesus came up out of the temple area, one of the disciples looked at him, Teacher, notice the sort of quality of these stones of this building. The Bible said the stones were beautiful stones. You know, it was ace wondering stones, ace of the world. It was high monument gold stones. And what happened was, when we find ourselves walking off track and not really understanding where our focus is, we'll start focusing on the wrong thing. Now, during the course of time they was walking with Christ, they was really looking at the wrong thing. They went into the building and they ain't nothing wrong. They just told them what they saw. They told him what they saw, but their focus wasn't quite there. Things in our life, things in your life, can really pull us off focus. It can cause a wedge, a division between whatever it may be, to look at something that appeared to be something that it's not. Now, we see a lot of things that's going on around town in the different marches, Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, all these different things going around the town. We see this going on. But one thing we're missing out. One thing we're missing is understanding every one of us is created by God. Not the evil ones that's out here committing all these crimes, doing these things, just literally taking away the lives of God's people like this. They're going to have to pay for things. But it's not that the pay of our hands, but our voices must be raised and heard about these particular events that are taking place in the lives of the people who should not be. Over here in the area of the book of Mark chapter 13, look at some stuff in Mark chapter 13. I'm going to turn back to verse 1. I'm going to look at chapter 13, verse 2. I'm going to look at this very careful, 13 and 2. It said he went up to the temple. I mean, he went out spiritually. Notice what he said. He went out spiritually as well as physically. He guaranteed its doom. So when he guaranteed its doom, as he went out of the temple, the disciples noticed another thing. The thing that they noticed was the physical rather than the spiritual. And this is where we are sometime in life. We focus too much on the physical things that are around us, as if that person has a little bit more, that person has a little bit more. And it tends to draw a lot of stereotype, drama, division. You know, why do they have, like they with the word of God came with Jeremiah, or it came to word with I think it was Nehemiah. But the word came, and he asked him, said, why do all the wicked people got it on? Jeremiah, he said, why all the wicked people got it on, going on? And Jesus began to tell him, you know, look, you need to focus on your work. Now, as a father, as a man, and a woman of God, and some people say, that sounds so corny, Apostle, it does sound corny, because you don't want the truth. You don't want to know the truth, because you want to sound the sound, make it feel good, make it jump, shout, and holler. And you want to relate in a way that you feel from a man's point of view. But when you look at these structures of what I'm telling you, all these things are in place to help and show you how you're supposed to be able to follow the one who supports you to help you be what you designed to be. If men need to follow men to understand men, then women need to understand and realize they need to let the sons go and be with the father. Now, you may have some mishaps and some problems with that individual, but you still need to let the son get the opportunity to see who that father is and know that he got the opportunity to raise them. Now, if he so choose not to do it, then it's war on to him. But the word of God does declare that when he came out of the temple, and you want to see the significance of this, he came out of the temple, he predicted doom on the temple. Why did he predict doom on the temple? Because there was evil things going on in the temple that weren't supposed to be. Now, we as men and women of God, we have evil things going on around us that actually plagues the covenant of God. Men and the women coming together to be as one. Sometimes we don't follow the rules and regulations as we should by shacking. I'm just telling me what my personal standpoint of view. Whether they're moving in and cutting together and being as one, then all of a sudden a child comes out of the situation, we're not in the covenant, and then someone leaves and the child was left, the one that be hurting, stranded, and just stuck out there because of one individual's attitude or one individual's way has actually didn't care about the future of the young man, but more or less tried to hurt someone in the middle to make them feel that they're going to pay because something was lost there that should have been gained. And it really falls on both sides. Sometimes it be the man, sometimes it be the woman, but most of the time the situation comes out, the child is the one being left. So the children we're raising up as of right now, and we're seeing this day and time, ought to be the ones to be our leaders, taught and designed and engineered to understand how the system is that we're in. That we'll go forth. And as we go forth, we'll know the way of the kingdom, taught the way of the kingdom. And we'll have the different plans that we need, the different training that we need on how to do whatever it is, some job you're doing, whether it be college, whether it be Jesus, he's been a carpenter, whatever it may be. But yet still going forth, understanding, knowing what is right. Because the world gets a hold of our young people who don't understand what's going on in life. And what they do, they fall to the world system. And the world system teaches them more or less in a scattered way, a wild way. It teaches them the ways to be out there and just be anything, you know. And then sometimes when you go out there, you get trained by multiple coaches, you can get confused. So you got a whole lot of stuff in your head about where you think things should be. But mentorship is a great thing. You know, Tony Evans does a great job with No Child Left Behind. He does a great job with that work. You know, over here at HNLC Studios, we do a great job with it. If you heed to hear, we give out information. We give out our phone number. We give out our email. We tell you, hey, if it's something that we can do family-wise to help come together, counsel with you, teach you to be a better woman, a better man, then fine. Are we large in size? No, but we're big otherwise. We're a great ministry. We're a fantastic ministry. But over in the Mark 13, Jesus predicted the doom of the temples, and he went out of the temple, and as he went out of the temple, the disciples asked unto him. Now, they're going to ask a lot of questions. He said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones these buildings are here. Jesus answered, said unto him, See these great buildings, there should not be one stone left upon another. They should all be torn down. Now, why did he say that point? Because some of the things we look at physical ain't designed to really be with us the rest of our lives. Notice when I'm saying this, I might be saying it a different way that you understand it, but physical things don't last forever. In other words, can I say it like this? Physical things don't have a soul. Different type of physical. This physical was a building. Buildings don't have soul. God, the creating of God building, it has a soul. When that goes down, that particular clay falls apart, the soul goes back to its right place to be judged and put in its right place. So when we leave here, our temple is not lost. Our temple goes to be in the right-hand side of the Father. That's if we walk upright, Psalms 84:11. But it goes on and says over here, and it says in the third verse, he, as soon as he sat up on the Mount of Olives against the temple, Peter and John asked, you know, him privately, tell us, you know, when should these things be? You know, they want to know what's happening. Because Jesus couldn't tell them in the middle of the building where they were coming out of, because of the fact in those days, and still now, it'd be considered a terroristic threat. You threaten to tear our building down, and you see that as Christ goes on and speaks about this very manner. He goes over in the book of John chapter 2, and he talks about this process, that how he came to die for me and your sins. And you look at the verse part of this particular 16th verse, and you go over the book of John chapter 2, the 16th verse, and he said unto him, he said unto them that soul doves take these things hence, make not my Father's house a merchandise. In other words, don't make it a supermarket. Don't merchandise the Father's house. Don't break these doves, all this stuff. He talked about even the 15th verse, but we talk about the process of how he really dealt with them. How in the 14th verse, he found the temple of those who sold oxen, the sheep, and dove, and the changed money and setting. And then he made it a scorns, small cord. You know, he whipped up a switch. You know, God, brother, come out. Jesus come out with a switch. That's why the word of God talks about also, you know, you chasten the ones you love. You know, when mother, father spanks you or whip you, it's not negatively, it's not bad. You know, they chasten you. They want to teach you the right way. We got the belt back in the days. You know, we got whoopings, you know, and most people feel they can't get those because now the laws got involved in how what happens. And the father taking the total role of the son and the mother taking the total role of how he raised the daughter. The laws got involved now. I was watching a story just the other day, and it was dealing with two twins. who mother and kind of had them going back and forth, and they were so lovely looking twins, like they were very innocent, but they end up killing their mother. I don't want to tell you that story this morning, but it was a disastrous story. And what it means that you got to be able to take control of the children's life. And you can't bring a lot of people in and out of their life. If something happened with you and that individual, y'all didn't get along together, y'all decided to depart, let him or she still know who the father is so they gain that relationship. So they won't be tossed between the feelings of one another. You know, if you decide to go this way and then, you know, if something happened to where he's a striker or you a striker, then go in your direction. You know, I'd rather for you to be separate, apart, and as the Word of God says, get the certificate of divorce, and you move in your direction, but don't deny the fact that as a child, I'm not portraying that you do divorce, but I think it should be the last result of something. That's if it's some physical activity going on. I don't allow anybody to stay in any situation where if the man is doing something to the woman, the woman is doing something to the man. But let's get on back to this story right here. We look at the word over here in John chapter 14. Let me make sure we get our sense right here. We call it in John chapter 2 in the 14th verse. In the 14th verse say, and he found in the temple those sold ox and sheep and doves. And look what they did. He said they sold the sheep and the dove in exchange of money settings. And when he had made a scourge, a small cord, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen poured out, and he changed the money over tables. He got to turn them over. He said, the word God says, that he poured out the changers, the money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them, you sold doves to take these things hence, to make not my father's house a merchandise, a supermarket, in other words. You don't want to. This is a holy time. So you're gonna go in and sell some doves. You're gonna sell some sacrifices. In other words, you want to peddle the gospel. No, indeed, you can't do that. It's gonna get too far in that part of the story. But we want to deal with the problem here as being fathers and mothers in the ministry. But the more they deal with fathers, then he answered the Jews and said unto them, "What sign showeth it? Assure thou unto us seeing that thou be done, that I do with these things." In other words, Jews want to know, okay, and you look at the 18th verse, they answered the question. The Jews said unto him, "What sign showeth thou unto us seeing that thou do these things?" We want to know, why are you doing it? What is the reason why you're doing it? One of the reasons why you're doing it, he said, first of all, you're making my father's house into a marketplace. You're selling the things that's freely given to people, exchange money in your own pockets. And you have people doing it a lot of time. You know, sometimes, I mean, I don't like it, but sometimes I see people who come into the church and they sell jewelry, they sell clothes, they sell, you know, all this and all that in the house of God. And, but they allow it, then fine. I mean, if something that's writing the books and something like that, it's going to help the ministry, help the person learn more, then fine. But it goes a little too far when you start putting other clothing and jewelry. And that's just my own opinion. I don't think it should be in the house of God. But then the word of God said, "Gee, look for a sign in the 18th verse." Then he answered the Jews and said unto them, "What signs showeth thou unto us that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered a very powerful question. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up." Now, let me say something about that when people step on the physical end. We know Jesus wasn't talking about a physical building because he never referred to his body as a building. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up." So when I go out and look at some notes, some things I've been looking at, just a few things, I'm always kind of getting into stuff. I'm the kind of person who just really looks at stuff. I just don't follow, you know, some of the direction you see in these particular breakdowns and all that. But I do look at them, but then I ask God, "No, what did you mean by that?" Well, Jesus did come here to die. He did come have the right, that we have the right to true life. He did come to be a living sacrifice for me and you. That by being that living sacrifice, all our sins, that whatever the enemy may try to come against us and make us feel opposite of what we're supposed to be in life, men and women, women and God, you know, we want to know that. We want to know that what we are in Christ, that it ain't no mistake. I ain't no mistake. He never told me that I had a messed up feeling about something. I had some kind of misinformed DNA in me. He said he perfectly and wonderfully made me. He knew what my attraction was. I was attracted to women, and women were attracted to me. And he said, I made man for woman. I made woman for man. He didn't say any two bits about that. He wasn't confused. Now, the world becomes confused in what they do. But Jesus never was confused about anything that he was doing. But it goes over in this particular area, the book of John. He goes in the 19th verse. And you look at the 19th verse of the book of John. I'm going to get over here. Jesus answered and said unto him, destroy this temple refers to the fact that the physical body, he said his physical body, not the structure of a building, which Herod had performed and broke. Well, if I had or somebody else had performed and built, whether it be my church or whatever, he's not talking about the building. Then he's talking about, he's speaking of his resurrection. That this temple that you're going to tear down based on what you see that I'm doing to you because you're doing wrong things in the eyesight of God, I'm going to actually let you see that I'm going to destroy the last thing that's going to cause people to fall into sin. That's if you look onto me, and that's going to be death. I'm going to prove to you once and for all, I come to be the one that's going to save all those from that very sin. In our lives, man and women of God, we have all types of sins that comes at us. No one is free. According to the book of Romans 3, 10 through 14, he said, oh, we are all falling short. We all have something in our life that's quite not right. But on this particular Father's Day on today, all the fathers, you know, sometimes I know what it is to grieve as a father in situations where you didn't get a chance to be with your children, to be around like that. A lot of us have been in situations like that. I'm not the only man that's been through that. I could put my man name as number one, has been through one of those stages before, and they don't feel good. And I think sometimes you really need to look at the mother on her end also and say, hey, look, have a heart and try to find out if the father is available, if he wants to come see the child. Just don't be heinous and hateful and mean and angry and say, well, I don't want him to see. No, don't be that way. Have a heart and say, hey, look, I know that's the father's of the child, and I want him to be able to see his child on this day. If he so happens to want him, you can make him come see the child. But let your guards down and let the child be with the father if it's okay. You know, some on a certain situation to the law got to be on supervised provisions, whatever it may have been. I don't know how a father can harm his own child. I don't understand that. But I do know one thing. We all got to have a heart toward what God really wants us to do if we ever going to get blessed. Let me look at something right here in this particular 20th verse over here. It's in the Jews, and then the Jews fortified in 6 years, and this temple and the building, fortified in 6 years. In 6 years was the temple in the building, and you going to tear it down? You going to tear this up? This building been here for these many years, but you're going to come along, you're going to tear it down. Let's look at the King James Version. It wasn't come off the top of my head. But he spoke to the temple and the body. And it says in the 22nd verse, when therefore he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that what he had said unto them. They believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus said. Now, the word that Jesus said was back over in verse 19. Jesus answered the people, say, destroy this temple, and I'll restore it in what? 3 days. I'll bring it back up. In 3 days, I'll raise it again. Then the Jews, the Jews put a physical thing in the end of the 19th verse. He said, then they said, the Jews, 46 years was this temple built. Now they're looking at the physical structure. And this is one of the things we look at in life sometimes. I've been in ministry 35, 40 years. That don't mean anything. Go back to the problem. We talk about the people who went into the garden, and Jesus told them to go into the garden to work. And certain people went into the garden at a certain time of the day, and then they looked at them as if they needed more money than the others. But they went into the temple with the understanding, knowing that God called you into the temple. This is when you get called into the ministry. Doesn't matter if a man been there 45, 50 years. If he's there, he's not there to give you the Holy Spirit. He's there to give you information about how things should go. And if it should go that way, it's going to help you be what God called you to be. But in the midst of you going in there, your pay is no more than anyone else's. This is why Jesus is a great equalizer with things that's going on as of right now. There never was big eyes and big U's, but some people get their heart beside themselves, they get their heart in their sleeve, and they get themselves a little too boastful, and they think they're a little bit better than someone else. But Jesus never performed that to be toward anyone. Jesus is the great Messiah. When you look at the process of all the giftings of the Spirit over, First Corinthians, you look on 1 Corinthians, you go to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to show you just a word in 1 Corinthians, how God never looked at one spirit or one person's gift over any other gifts. When you look at Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, you go to 1 Corinthians 12 right quick, just shoot over there, we got to get out of here. 1 Corinthians 12 makes a very strong story about the fact that those who went in the temple at a certain time of the day, but the ones who was already in the temple working in the heat and the slave and the sun, they felt they owed more money. Jesus said, no, you got it wrong, you got it twisted. Just because you got a larger building, you got a bigger robe and the ring, some more alphabets behind your name, that doesn't mean anything. Jesus tried to command the way of God in such a way that feel like this. If you're going to come into the temple, be man enough to know that what you started off, you're just as good as anybody else. What is a man's life and role in the body of Christ? Wherever it is that you get your training from, which should be by the Holy Spirit. If that person in the head of your household is a man of God, listen to what he has to say. If the world's going to teach you something, then they're going to show you the wrong way. And you should find that out real quick. Because I did. You know, raised in a Christian home with a loving mother who loved the Lord, but I got out there and knew the world for a while, and I'm telling you, it was nothing but chaos. But in this word over here in the book of Corinthians, it brings a real strong understanding about the power of God's word in the lives of you as being an individual. He speaks in the book of 1 Corinthians 12. He said, by the manifestation of the Spirit, every man as to profit with all. Notice what he's saying. He didn't ever see when men get involved, they want to boost themselves. They want to make themselves better than everybody. As if your gift don't mean anything. As if when the word of God came to you in Jeremiah 1:5, you wasn't good. That you didn't have a free opportunity to raise up the gift that was in you. You just didn't find the right person in place. Well, I'm just going to say it like this. Sometimes we have what we call so-called fathers in the ministry. People don't really look after the children as they should do, but they fleece them for the very funds and money they need to build monument structures to build them. But Jesus told you about that over in verse 13. He said, except I build a house. You know, of course, First Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 11th verse, is built in vain. Whenever you build a vow, the house of God, outside the will of God, the Bible said, first, you got to check the cost. The reason a lot of people in position right now, because now the temples that we saw around the world today has been shut down. To a point that it was a government aid, but you want to go back into the temple based on what a man says. But this corona thing is still hitting. I mean, this plague is still in the land. But you want to risk the lives of the people to go back and build it. And your biggest concern should be about the welfare of the people, not the building. It's never the building. You never put a building before people. You look at them, if they're safe in the household, teach them from there. But going back over to 1 Corinthians, and you look at this particular 1 Corinthians and this particular 12th chapter in the 7th verse, he said, by the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit with all. Now look what he says. One is given the spirit of wisdom. Now let me say something about the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is a very powerful gift. It's a very powerful understanding because it supersedes a whole lot of things over education. You got to have education, but wisdom is going to help lead you out of a lot of destruction. When I say wisdom, this is what you get from your forefathers, people who say in life that being your father to help you move in direction for you won't stumble and fall. Now, some fathers let you fall on your face. They won't come to your aid. They'll say they're going to do something, but they won't do it. You understand what I'm saying? That's when you got to keep on moving. Ask God, direct me and guide me to somebody you know can help me. Now, Oscar Walker, great man of God in my life, been there for 15, 20 years, great man of God. He's been just like a dad. And got great disciples around him. Just been in my pocket ever since. Never left, never forsake, never doubted me in any straight form or fashion. Always looked up on me and talked to me, not just by ministry, but about us as a son. And I thank God for that, that you meet people like that rarely in life, in this day and time of ministry. It's not as much as it need to be. But when you look at this particular area, Jesus talks about the equalism of the Holy Spirit, how every one of us developed with a gift inside of us. And with that gift inside of us never came from man. Jeremiah 1:5 said, when you were born, created and designed and engineered, he called you to be the prophet before the nation. But in the process of looking at the word of God over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the 7th verse, he said it was manifested already. It was wrought in you. Like he said with Apostle Paul, it was manifested by the spirit that's given to each man, each one, man and woman, the prophet with all. One had the spirit of wisdom. Another had the spirit of knowledge. Now, these are different gifts as you go on the football field. I use sports as a scenario, what business, corporation, whatever. Whatever your talent is, whatever your gifting is, whatever your anointing is, you're number one. If your person walks in wisdom, you're number one on your list. If your person walks in knowledge, you're number one on your list. Remember, he says the same spirit. You're the 9th verse to another, the same spirit of gift. If your gifting is healing, you're number one on your list. You don't supersede anybody else's gift, but you're number one on your list. The same spirit. Another, the walk of miracles. If you're a person in the miracle alley, crusades, that's your gift. It doesn't make your gift better than anybody else. Prophecy, if that's your gift, that's you. It all rolls in the body together. Linebacker, defensive back, quarterback, lineman, whatever. Whatever your position is on the field. Prophecy, another discerning of spirits, another kind of tongues, another kind of interpretation of tongues. But look what it says about the team in 11th verse. But all these work that one self-same spirit. It ain't but one spirit. You hear people say, my spirit better than your spirit. Dude, that's the thing too twisted. It's not like that. I had to get to that point to get you to see the fact that in the fatherhood and motherhood, things are always supposed to be equal to the point that there'd be no shambles in it. Now, what the enemy does through his collaboration of different kind of rules and regulations, they're very one-sided. Most of us see that. They're very one-sided. So you got to keep your sheep close, meaning your family members close. If there's a discernment of something going on in your household and the father's not there and for whatever reason you and the mother got apart, don't forget the fact that he still has a father. He just didn't pop out of nowhere. If the father ran off and he just cowered off and went somewhere and never came back ever before, you know, we want to try to find out if we can get him back. It's how you need to visit your daughter. You need to visit your son. Today is day. Yada, yada, whoop, do. And they look up to that. You know, I hate the situation that happened in Atlanta. You know, with the situation that happened, the young man was going to have his daughter's birthday here just a few days after that. And these police took upon themselves to take his life. Rather than talking to the man, maybe taking him home, they could have did something better than that using deadly force. But that's a whole other subject also. But whatever happened, where it can come out, it's wrong. It was wrong. So when they deprived him to hand the right of his father, his daughter, to raise up how to be the young lady toward a young man. And I think that was very important that they need to know that. I think the young man needs the same side to know how the father is. I think the same lady needs the same time to know how the father is. I think the young lady needs to know how he is to be a son, how the son needs to be. I think it's on both sides. If the father's going to be in the park, then the daughter need to raise, need to learn from the father. If the mother's going to part, the son need to learn from the mother how to treat a lady. Or the daughter need to know how to treat a man. This is very important in the life today. It'll stop a lot of stuff that's going on out here that ain't supposed to be. We was on a very strict family when we growed up. You know, my mother didn't lie, had a lot of sisters. My dad didn't lie, a lot of people to come over to the house. You know, sometimes you always have people run outside the stream, outside the flock. But one thing about it, my mother and father kept discipline in the house. If they went out there, they went out on their own. And they ain't really got disciplined about it, but they made him receive it properly. But my mother and father raised a very strict family of people. Just didn't run off and do anything. But if you did run out there, you went out on your own. It wasn't because of the matriarch of our household. You did because you wanted to do it. And you fell into your own situation. It wasn't God to put you in. You put yourself in there. But not heeding to the words of instruction from the parents that were before you. And this is how we run into a lot of chaos in families. Father God, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you for this time, this moment, this morning, being with you as we bring forth the word that's coming from your kingdom. Lord, it's a decree word as always. It's come from the kingdom of God. On this Father's Day, Lord, bless the men and women of God as they go forth, Father, and look over all the fathers. Keep them safe in every area of their life. Let them realize and understand your love for them is really more than what they can see. Father God, keep them, bless them. Lord, I'm asking you to take over them, Father. Change their heart, change their mind. Let them be better now than ever before. Father God, let them be better than I am, way better. Technology, wisdom, all the time. Let them just continue to supersede and go up higher. Father God, go into the households. Let your word convict. Let it arrest. Let it arrest them even in their sleep as they lay down. I see color babosa in the name of Jesus. That when they rise up, Father God, they become a new man in a way, and there'll be a new woman in the way they should be. Father God, let the change come forth on all the men in the world in the name of Jesus. Let them come together and solidify as one. We pull together as one. You'll find the power that we can find with men, real men, big, strong, musty men. How we can do, we come together and be one according to the kingdom of God. Father God, we thank you for this plan. We thank you for this power. We thank you for this grace, this mercy, and your precious and powerful mighty name. We pray, Lord. Amen. If guys want to get in contact with me, 214-897-9554. If you want to walk into salvation, need counsel, things to talk about, got a marriage day coming up, got some things going on, you don't have nothing to look out for, hey, give us a call, 214-870-2146. Also, the main line you can catch us on is actually 214-897-9554, or you can email him as well. It's going to be harvestnlc@gmail.com. It's pre-recorded service. It's not a pre-recorded service. This service you just listened to was by HNLC International World Broadcast in conjunction with Harvest New Life Church, HNLC World International. Thank you guys for joining us. It's always a pleasure to be with us. Go to some of our YouTube sites. Some of the other things we have going on, HNLC Studios, Podbean Show, Fresh Air, and several other different shows. As I say, 40 different platforms run out of here, and they're available for you at any time you want to listen to them. The show runs 24 hours. The system runs 24 hours. It's a very great system. So maybe tune into it, check out some of the things, see what you like, and see what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Until then, God bless you guys. We love you.